Well, we're in the final message of the series on prayer that we've been looking at. We've talked about, you know, several different types of prayers, and if you missed any of them, you can always let me know and I can send you the audio file, which I usually do anyway, and you can listen to the whole series of that. But we want to take up the final one in this series this morning. Now, there's a wonderful account in 1 Kings of a widow who lived in the city or the town of Zarephath. The Lord instructed Elijah, the prophet, to go there because he had commanded the widow who lived in that town to feed Elijah. And so Elijah got up and went to that town of Zarephath, and he met with the widow, and he asked for some drink and some food. Now, the widow in the description of it is in a pitiable state. She had almost nothing left, and she was gathering sticks to make one last fire and cook one last hot meal for her and her son. And then she actually says, and then we're going to die, right? She had come to the end of it. There was nothing left for her. And Elijah speaks to her at that point, and he says, "Don't fear, because the Lord is going to provide for you in abundance. You listen to what he's asked you to do, and God would take care of you until for many days." And so the widow responds to that in 1 Kings 17, 15 and 16. I'll just read this, her response. "And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah." Now, I know there's no prayer per se in this, but it is an account of God's provision, right? And we read in the scriptures through this story and in other places of God providing for our needs as being Jehovah Jireh, of taking care of everything that we need. And so it's a wonderful picture of God's provision, and important for us through the story and other passages of scripture to understand that we can go to God and trust him for our needs. We can ask him for our needs. We can place our desires before him, and God can and will provide for his people. Now, the Bible teaches us, you know, many different kinds of prayers. We've talked about intercession, thanksgiving, repentance and confession, adoration and worship. And this morning we want to talk about the prayer of supplication. Supplication. You've heard that word? Yeah, you've heard that word, right? Supplication simply means asking. When you supplicate someone, you're asking for or requesting their help or provision. That's what you're doing. You're asking for provision. Now, before we get into how we should ask God, and we want to, you know, broadly divide this sermon into how we should ask God and why we should ask God. That's broadly how we're going to divide it, and then we'll look at a few points under that. Let me talk to you first about why we should ask God. Why should you go to God and ask and supplicate God, right? Well, firstly, we ask God because God is our Father in heaven. There's simply no Father like him. He's our Father in heaven. In the text that was read for us in Matthew chapter 7, 7 to 11, Jesus is urging us to ask and to seek and to knock. Those who ask receive, those who seek will find, and those who knock will have the door opened to them. But the reason he says we should ask is because of our relationship with God. In verses 9 and 10 of Matthew 7, Jesus makes the point that our earthly fathers take care of us in the best way possible, right? They do as what they can to take care of all of our needs. How much more then will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Amazing. And so you have your earthly fathers, and I'm a father, and none of these fathers are perfect, but they do what they can, right? How much more will your Father in heaven, who's perfect, take care of you? And so we go to God and we ask him because he's our Father in heaven. Secondly, we go to God and we ask him because he is a greater judge of us and of our needs, if you like. There's an amazing story of the woman that Jesus tells of this woman who goes before this judge seeking justice And it's a powerful illustration of prayer for us in the Bible. Jesus speaks of her persistence when she goes before the judge. Consistently, she keeps going before the judge so that he finally gives her justice purely because he was fed up with her. He'd had enough because she kept coming to him. Now, the point that Jesus makes through this account is that we ought to persist in prayer and never give up. If the unrighteous judge could deliver justice, how much more will the righteous judge of the universe do what is right for his people? And so the second reason why we go to God in prayer is because he is a judge who knows and understands and will give us what is right. He will give us justice. And so we go to him in prayer. We must ask God because he does care for us more than we know and more than anyone else does. And these two analogies, these two pictures, make it clear for us. So next time the devil causes you to doubt the goodness of God, and he does, doesn't he? He comes, he says, God, no, God's not going to give you that. God is stingy. God is keeping things for himself. He did that with Adam and Eve in the garden. Next time he causes you to doubt, you remind him of the words of Christ in Matthew 7 and Luke 18. Matthew 7 is ask, seek, knock. Luke 18 is a story of the widow, that God is a father and God is a righteous judge toward his people. In fact, listen to this. God is so inclined toward us and his love is so great for us that even our thinking and our asking pales in comparison to what he can and does do in our lives. His love and his care is so great that our asking and thinking is small in comparison to what God can and does do in our lives. And I'm not just making this up. Ephesians 3:20, Paul in his benediction prayer, he says this. He says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. You got that? He's able to do far more abundantly than all you ask or think. Meaning your asking and your thinking is small in comparison to what God can do. That's amazing. And what God is inclined to do because we are his children. And so prayer is about going to the very presence of God and really taking hold of the Lord and saying, Lord, help, Lord, provide, Lord, care, and asking in a big way because he does greater than our asking and our thinking. Think about this the next time you ask God for something. Think about how small it probably is for the Lord when you ask, and ask with a faith, ask with a confidence in the presence of God. So that's why we should ask, right? We go to God, and that's why we should ask God in prayer. But let's talk about how we should ask God in prayer. How should we do it? What's the mechanics of it? Like when we go and ask, when we supplicate God, how should we do it? Let me give you 3 points for you to think about, and this is a good process, good grid for you to go through when you go and ask God in prayer. Firstly, when you ask with faith. Ask with faith. You know, in Matthew 21, Jesus is upset with a fig tree. You remember that story, right? It didn't give him any fruit, and so he's upset with the fig tree, and so he curses the fig tree, and immediately this fig tree shrivels up and dies. And the disciples are amazed at how that happened so instantaneously. But Jesus says to them, he says, you can do greater things than this. You can take this, pray that this mountain be thrown into the sea and it will happen. Right? And so he's using hyperbole to make a point of asking God for seemingly impossible things. And then he says in verse 22 of Matthew 21, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. If you have faith. Now, James picks up on this in James 1, 6 and 7. He says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So when you ask in faith. Don't doubt when you ask. Faith is to believe that God can do what we are asking him to do. It is to believe that God can do. It is in His ability to do what we are asking Him to do. Don't doubt the power and the ability of God. Now, we must be clear over here. We're not saying that faith is believing that God will do whatever we ask, but that God can do what we are asking. Not that He will do, but that He can do what we are asking. You know, I recently heard of a pastor who had died in Lucknow because of COVID. And at his funeral, just before he was the coffin was lowered into the ground, some of the people in the who were gathered there wanted to see him once more. And so they asked for the cover to be opened. And so they opened the lid of the coffin. And one of the believers went right up next to the pastor's face. And he started praying loud. And he says, "In Jesus' name, I command you to rise up. I command you to rise up." Now, the pastor who was presiding over the funeral, he gave them a few minutes, and then it was all becoming quite awkward. And so he asked for the box to be closed and the coffin to be lowered into the ground. Now, apart from all of it being quite strange and bizarre, it does raise the question when we talk about faith and prayer, right? And Christians have kind of been a little bit confused, I think, during COVID, because some people were sending Psalm 91, everywhere, saying that, you know, it will not touch us, and yet so many believers died. And some were praying for dead believers to be raised up, and because God, you know, sickness shouldn't have anything over us. And there was a confusion, I think, about the will of God. Now, to be fair, could God have raised that pastor? Yeah, absolutely. We see it in the scriptures. He raised the dead. It is well within His ability to do it, should He choose to do it and give that word. But will God raise him? No. Faith is not about expecting God to do whatever we ask Him. Faith is about trusting in His ability to do it. Whether He wills it or not, we trust in His ability to do it. That's what faith is. And some people might argue and say, you know, maybe that believer's faith was deficient. Maybe that's why the pastor didn't rise from the dead. I think he had greater faith than everybody else standing there, that he even went and asked for something like that. But if anything, we need to understand that faith does not impose our will on God. It is about trusting the ability of God to do impossible things and then leaving it there for God to do as He wills. That's faith. Trusting God to do impossible things and then leaving it there for Him to do as He wills. So we trust His sovereign will. We trust His goodness. We trust His greatness when we pray. But you got to pray with faith. With faith. You got to pray. Another thing about our asking has to do with our words. You know, don't think that you have to use long, wordy theological prayers for them to be heard by God. You know, some people think that if the pastor prays or the missionary prays, definitely God is going to hear that prayer because, you know, he's got all the right words, man. You know, he knows exactly what to say to maybe get God to listen to him. But Jesus actually says something about that in Matthew 6, 7 to 8. He says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." So you don't have to pray big and elaborate words. Sorry, did I cut off over there? I'm getting this call, so yeah. Okay, let's continue. So you don't have to pray these big and elaborate kinds of prayers. You need to pray simple prayers with a heart of faith. Simple prayers with a heart of faith. The power of prayer, the strength of prayer is not in the person praying. It is in the person who's hearing the prayer. God is all powerful, all good. And so we pray simple prayers with a heart of faith, and God hears them and He does as He wills. And so when you pray, when you ask, ask with faith. Ask with faith, with simple prayers. Secondly, when you ask, ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. John, we read this in John's Gospel, John 14, 13 and 14. Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In John 16, 24, again, Jesus says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. When we ask in his name, he says, I will do it and your joy will be full. But you've got to ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? Well, usually when we end our prayers, what do we end with? In Jesus' name, amen. And we become so used to it that we almost say it really fast. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we kind of zip through it at the end of the prayer. And it's kind of the closing line of the prayer. You know when the prayer is finished, when the person praying comes to in Jesus' name, amen. You're like, okay, we're at the end of this prayer. And so we kind of use that and we tack it on at the end of the prayer. But it is much more than just a closing line. It's much more than just something that we always kind of pray at the end of a prayer. When we ask in Jesus' name, we're asking by the authorization of the Lord Jesus himself. By the authorization of the Lord Jesus. What do I mean by that? In 1 Samuel 25, there's an interesting little story where David and his small band of men who are on the run from Saul, David sends 10 of his men to Nabal, who's this wealthy man, to request him for some food for his men. And so he says to his men, he says, go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. There's that little phrase. Greet him in my name. This was supposed to confer some level of importance on the messengers, because they were asking in David's name. When Nabal refused David's men, it was a personal insult to David, who then took action. We won't get into that story. You can read about it in 1 Samuel 25. It's an amazing story. But it was a personal insult to David when his men were refused, because he conferred on them some level of authority by saying, go and ask in my name. You see, when we ask the Father in Jesus' name, we are asking on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that. When you pray in Jesus' name, you're actually asking for something that Jesus might himself have asked for if he were there. If we pray sincerely in Jesus' name, it has the effect of causing us to think about our prayers. We ought to pray then in accordance with his will. Because, listen to this carefully, you cannot use his name for things that are contrary to his will. You cannot use his name to pray for things that are contrary to his will. And I think we pray a lot of prayers that are contrary to his will, but we tack on in Jesus' name because it's just there, right? Is there any wonder that those things don't come about, or we become frustrated? Because we're not really praying according to his will. We'll talk about that in a moment. Now, we tend to think that there are only a few things that Jesus really wants us to pray for, right? In Jesus' name. So those are the spiritual things. If I pray for those things, you know, that's in his realm and he'll definitely see to those things. But in actuality, everything is under his purview. Everything. From your daily needs to the larger things in life, like your career and your work and your marriage and your children and your big decisions, everything is under the purview and the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so you can and ought to pray for everything in Jesus' name. He has a will and a purpose for absolutely everything in your life. There are not things that are sacred and things that are secular or worldly. Everything is under his purview. And so we pray for all things in Jesus' name, because he's got a will for it. let me say this to you. It isn't outside of the of his will for you to have food, is it? It isn't outside of his will for you to have money, is it? It isn't outside of his will for you to have clothing. Just read Matthew 6, 25 to 33. Now, there may be, there may be a bit of a conflict about how much food you should have, or how much money you should have, or what kind of clothes you should have. He might have something to say about that. But that you should have food and clothing and shelter and money and all these things is not outside of his will. He wants to take care of you. It isn't outside of his will for you to have a job, or to get married, or to have children, or to buy a house, or to move to a different city. There is nothing inherently wrong or immoral in any of these things. So you can pray for them in Jesus' name. And you can pray with faith and with confidence in his name. Because you're going with his authority in that sense in your prayer. Here's a verse from 1 John that puts our asking and God's will together. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Here's what he says. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears, and we know that he hears us in whatever we ask. We know that we have the... Let me read that again, verse 15. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Listen to that again. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us according to his will. When you ask according to his will, ask with confidence in his name, because he's already authorized it, hasn't he? He's already empowered it in that sense. And so you ask with confidence. I think, you know, often our prayers lack confidence. Even when we ask according to his will, we're kind of iffy about it. We're not sure. But, you know, if it is in the will of God generally, and we talk about that in the next point, we got to learn to ask with confidence in Jesus' name. So when you pray next time, you know, don't just tack on in Jesus' name at the end of the prayer. Think about it. Think about it. Because when you pray in Jesus' name, everything you've said before in the prayer ought to be according to his will. Then the in Jesus' name makes sense. Right? But again, Jesus tells us to pray, and he says, whatever you ask in my name, it will be done. And we've got to be able to pray like that. Which brings us to the third point that I'd like to make this morning. When you ask, the first one was ask with faith, ask in Jesus' name. And number three, ask with the right motives. Ask with the right motives. You know, James writes in James chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. Listen to this. He says, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Such an important text in the context of what we're talking about this morning. And it is important because we often feel like God isn't answering our prayers. Ever felt like that? Or he isn't answering our prayers as we would like him to answer our prayers. You know, sometimes God doesn't give us what we ask for because it simply isn't his will for us in a very specific way, right? He doesn't do a certain thing or allow a certain thing. It just isn't his will for us. Sometimes God says, wait. Wait. And sometimes God doesn't give us the good things we might ask for because we ask with the wrong motives. You got that? Sometimes God doesn't give us the good things we ask for because we ask with the wrong motives. That's so important. We often become obsessed with things with such a strong desire, or with jealousy, or we jealously covet what other people have, and we're willing to go to any lengths to get those things. And so we might even have these special fastings and prayers to have those things, but it doesn't please the Lord. The form of it doesn't please the Lord because the motive is wrong. The motive is wrong because we are asking for our own obsessive passions. Remember the song that, you know, Sajan led us through and sang for us in the beginning? This world is not my home. And so you look at that end of that thing that James says. He says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You know, we have loved the things of this world so much, and that this desire overtakes us in an obsessive, compulsive way. We must have that thing. And James says some of us, we murder, we covet, we desire so strongly to have it. And some of us, we pray for those things. And then when God doesn't answer, we shake our head at him as if he isn't good. But we've prayed with the wrong motive. We've prayed with the wrong motive. We have obsessed over something that isn't maybe a perfectly good and legitimate thing, but God will not give it to us because of the kind of control it has over us. And what we are saying is, unless I have that thing, I will not be happy. And it could be a relationship, it could be a job, it could be some recognition, it could be some affirmation, it could be some money, it could be some food or some meal that you're craving at that moment, or whatever it is. And we pray and say, Lord, please, please, please give that to me, right? And God doesn't give it to us because we are asking for the wrong reasons. We are allowing our inordinate desires and passions to control us. We're not asking for the will of God. We're asking according to our will. I tell you, when we get to heaven, we will give thanks to God for the thousands of prayers that he has not answered us because of the wrong motives with which we asked. I think he spared us a lot of trouble. You know, it's like a little child. I mean, if my kids, you know, came and asked me for something that I know that they were obsessed with, I'm more inclined to say no to them, not because that thing is inherently bad for them, but because of the control it has over them. Right? And God does the same thing with us. Because if he allows that thing, if he gives us that thing and allows it to dominate our life, whatever it is, it takes us one step away from him. And then two steps. And then three steps. If God allows things to control us when we obsess over them, by giving them to us whenever we ask for them, it does more damage to us than anything else. And like a good father, he says no. Until we yield control, until we stop obsessing over that thing. And the minute you're able to do that, God might very well give that to you. Right? It's in his ability to do it. He just wants you to ask with the right motives. So what are some of the wrong motives to check your heart when you ask for good things? Some of the wrong motives that we might have are things like pride. We don't want to ask out of pride. We don't want to ask to show off to other people. We don't want to ask out of a sense of competition. We don't want to ask out of greed or gluttony. We don't want to ask out of a desire for power or position. We don't want to ask so that it just makes us feel good. We shouldn't ask because we're desiring security from something, or because we're feeling insecure. We don't want to ask in those sorts of circumstances for things that we might ask God for. So important. You know your heart. And many times you will go to another person and say, you know, I've been praying for this thing and God isn't giving it to me. hopefully that other person can turn to you. Another believer will say to you, are you asking with the right motive? Are you asking with the right motive? Maybe that's what's keeping God's providence and blessing from your life. And so as we close, here's this grid that you need to keep in mind when you supplicate God, when you go to God and you ask, when you pray prayers of supplication, go through this process. First of all, am I asking according to God's general revealed will? Where do we find that? In the Word of God, in the Bible. And so you want to make sure that it isn't immoral or contrary to His revealed will in the Bible. That's the first thing you want to do, right? Generally speaking. Then you want to ask if you're asking with the right motives. So you got to check your heart. You got to check the word. Then you got to check your heart and see what motive you're asking with. Once these two things are clear, then you want to remind yourself that God is your Father and your righteous judge, right? You want to remind yourself, like we talked about before. And when you have filled your heart with these amazing thoughts of who God is, then with faith and with confidence in Jesus' name, you ask and you persevere like the woman in Luke chapter 18. Never giving up. Sometimes we got to pray for things for years. That's okay. But once we've cleared out some of these things, we check the word, we check our hearts, we remind ourselves that God is our Father and our righteous judge, and then we ask with faith and with confidence in Jesus' name. Never giving up. That's what prayer is all about. The prayer of supplication. It's amazing. And I tell you, God will never fail you. He will never fail you. And maybe you're in a situation like that widow in Zarephath, where you feel you've come to the end of it. You're gathering up your last sticks to set that last fire going, to cook that last meal. You're at the end of it. Maybe you need to be reminded of God's goodness in your life and God's providence, and that He will fill up your barns and He will allow that oil to overflow and never run out, and that flour to remain full. God will take care of you, His child. Never ever give up in prayer. Go to Him, ask Him, and when you ask in Jesus' name, God will take care of you. I hope that's been an encouragement to you this morning, as well as the last few sermons that we've listened to on prayer. I want to give you a moment to bow your heads and just quieten your hearts. It's probably one or two things out of this that the Lord has spoken to you this morning. Ask Him to allow it to just settle in there, firmly rooted in your heart. And for you to be able to respond in faith, in obedience to His word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this time, for your word, for this series on prayer. I pray that it would have taught us to be far more dedicated as a people to prayer, because you're a good God who delights in hearing our prayer and meeting all of our needs according to your riches in glory, according to your goodwill and purpose for our lives. We submit all of this into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.